Okay, so now we're here at the functional design meeting. Hopefully this meeting I'll be doing a little bit less talking than I did last time, because this is when you get to show us what you've been doing individually. The agenda for the meeting, I put it in the shared documents folder. I don't know if that meant that you could see it or not.
No.
Oh well. I'll try and do that for the next meeting as well. So if you check in there, there's a shared project documents folder. And it should be in there.
Project documents.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I'll put it in there. Okay. Is it best if I send you an email maybe to let you know it's there?
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. I'll do that next time. I'll act as secretary for this meeting and just take minutes as we go through, and then I'll send them to you after the meeting. The main focus of this meeting is your presentations that you've been preparing during the time, so we'll go through each of you one by one. Then we need to briefly discuss the new project requirements that were sent to us.
At the last minute.
I'm sorry about that. But we can see how that affects what you were doing. And then we need to, by the end of the meeting, come to some kind of decision on who our target group's going to be and what the functions of the remote control. That's the main goal, is to come up with those two things, target group and functions of the remote control. And we've got 40 minutes to do that in. So I would say
target groups, what does that mean?
So who it is that we're going to be trying to sell this thing to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we need to have a fairly defined group that we want to focus on, and then look at the functions of the remote control itself. So with that, I think it's best if I hand over to you. Does anyone have a preference for going first?
I can go first.
You can go first? Okay. So we need to unplug my laptop and plug in yours. First, let me just pull it out. Just before you start, to make it easier, would you three mind emailing me your presentations once we... You don't have to do it now,
yeah,
but once you go back,
right,
just so that I don't have to scribble everything down.
Okay. So, with regard to the working design of this remote control, I've identified a few basic components of the remote. And from the design, functional design perspective, we can now know what exactly the components are and how they work together with each other. So this is the method that I'll mostly be following in my role. The identification of the components, since I'm dealing only with the technical aspects, I would need feedback from the marketing person and from the user interface person. We'll then integrate this into the product design at a technical level, and basically update and come up with a new design. So it's a cyclical process. Okay, so these were the basic findings from today. The last three bullets have been integrated from the last minute email. I just quickly jotted them down. So basically, as I told you, the identification of how the remote control works and what are the various parts to it. processes and all the parts communicate with each other. Okay, so the email said that teletext is now outdated, so we need to do away with that functionality of the remote control. Also, the remote control should be used only for television because incorporating other features makes it more complex. And the reason why teletext is outdated because of internet, the availability of internet over television. However, our remote control will only be dealing with the use for television in order to keep things simple. Also, the management wants that our design should be unique. It should incorporate color and the slogan that our company has it as its standard. Okay, so here is a functional overview of the remote control. There's basically an energy source at the heart which feeds into the chip and the user interface. The user interface communicates with the chip. So let's go over to the it feeds energy into the chip, which basically finds out how to do everything. There is a user interface here. So when the user presses a button, it feeds into the chip, and the chip then generates a response and takes the response to an infrared terminal, which then so the output of the chip is an infrared bit code, which is then communicated to the remote side, which has an infrared receiver. There can be a bulb here or something to indicate whether the remote is on or communicating. So these are the So all the functionality of the remote control, whatever new functions that we need to do, make the chip more complicated and bigger. So in my personal preferences, I'm hoping that we can keep the design as simple and clear as possible. This would help us to upgrade our technology at a future point of time. And also, if we can incorporate the latest features in our chip design so that our remote control does not become outdated soon and is compatible with most televisions. That's about it. So, anything that you would like to know or
do you have any idea about costs at this point?
No, I don't have any idea about what each component costs.
Because that's something we need to consider, I guess, if we're using more advanced technology, it might.
Certainly, yeah. So that, yeah, we definitely need to operate within our constraints.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I do not have any data, so I just identified the functional components.
That's fine. Are there any more questions, or should we just skip straight to the next one and then we can discuss all of them together?
I think we need like some general discussion on there.
Yeah, I think that will do. Okay, so do you want to?
Yeah, I think since we were discussing some design issues, then
yes,
I
shall
like
we,
anything.
Shall we pull this
yeah.
up? I think that has to come out of there. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, I thought those last minute things are going to hit you the worst.
Okay. I hope. Wait. Should it just?
It'll take some time.
Okay.
Are you there's just nothing.
Oh, and have you need to then also press one of
Oh,
these
right.
function F8. So the blue function key at the bottom.
Okay.
And F8.
Okay, something.
It'll come up.
No signal? Why?
Maybe again.
Yeah, it says something there.
Oh. My computer went blank now. Adjusting?
Adjusting.
I don't see anything on my computer now. This is
Oh, if you press function and that again, there's usually three modes. One where it's only here, one where it's only there, and one where it's both. Okay, so
one
more
time.
And now it's okay. No?
No, sure. Yeah, just wait for a moment. Adjusting.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. That's good. Okay, let's start from the beginning. So I'm going to speak about technical functions design, just like some first issues that came up. Okay, so the method I was adopting at this point, it's not for the whole period of the. Or the project, and it's just at this very moment.
Mm-hmm.
And my method was to look at other remote controls, so mostly just by searching on the web, and to see what functionality they used. And then after having got this inspiration and having compared what I found on the web, and just to think about what the user really needs and what the user might desire as additional functionalities. And then just to put the main function of the remote control in words.
Mm-hmm.
So the findings were that the main function of the remote control is just sending messages to the television set. So this is quite straightforward. And some of the main functions would be switching on, switching off. Then the user would like to switch the channel, for example, just changing to the next channel to flip through all of the possible channels. Or then the other possibility would be that she might just want to choose one particular channel, so we will need the numbers. And also the volume is very important.
So
I also
could you go back for
okay.
a switching on off channel. Okay, that's good.
Among the findings, I found that most of the presently available remote controls also include other functionalities in their design, like operating a VCR, but they don't seem to be able to deal with DVD players, but then there are many other functions that could possibly be added to them, but according to the last minute update, we do not want to have all these complicated functions added to our design. So my personal preferences would be to keep the whole remote control small, just like the physical size. And then it must be easy to use, so it must follow some conventions, like whereabouts you find the on-off button and maybe the color tends to be red or something. The must-have buttons would be on-off and then the channel numbers and then the one that allows us to go to the next or the previous channel, and then volume has to be there. But then other functionalities, there could be a menu button and you could change things on the screen then. For example, brightness and similar functions could be just done through the menu. And the last question I had about whether we wanted to incorporate more functionalities, the answer was already no because of the last minute update.
Mm-hmm.
So for the time being, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
No questions.
That was the directive that came through from management, but if we had a decent case for that we really think it's important to include video and DVD, I could get back to them and see it's just whether it's worth arguing about.
Yeah, and also it's the question is because there are so many different things that could possibly be included.
Mm-hmm.
Besides video and DVD, there are the video CDs and whatever, so
yeah,
it might be problematic to choose between
mm-hmm.
all these possible things.
Okay. Are there any questions for clarification of Marika before we go on to the next one?
So in the user interface requirements, we have been able to identify what are the basic buttons that we do want. So at this stage, how we go about implementing those buttons, we will not identify, or I mean, we can completely do away with buttons and have some kind of a fancy user interface or something like that. But is there any thoughts on that?
Well, I think the buttons are still kind of the most easy for the user to use. I mean, and what other options would you have? A little screen or something, but this would be really kind of,
and
I think, a lot of learning for the user.
Yeah.
And I mean, the user just wants to get a result quickly, not spend time on giving several orders.
Right.
And I would just think the buttons, but if you have proposals.
Yeah, I think the costs will also play a big role when we come to know about them.
Yeah.
So well, we can probably wait until we have more knowledge on that.
Yeah.
If the costs allow, we can have like an LCD display, and because we do want something fancy and fashionable as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure, we can discuss that maybe after the next one.
Cool.
Do you want to?
A little cable thing.
Yeah.
No.
Can you hear me?
I'm getting hungry.
Okay, here you are.
Functional requirements. We need to do the function key thing so that it comes up on here.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's working.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Cool. Okay. So, what I have. Like where I've got my information from is a survey where the usability lab observed remote control use with 100 subjects, and then they gave them a questionnaire. So it was all about, you know, how people feel about the look and feel of the remote control, you know, what's the most annoying things about remote controls, and the possibility of speech recognition and LCD screens in remote control. Although they actually gave me any answers on the LCD screen, so I should have taken that back. Okay, so what they found is that people don't like how current remote controls are. So, you know, definitely you should be looking at something quite different. 75% of users find remote controls ugly. The other 25% have no fashion sense. 80% of users would spend more to get, you know, a nice looking remote control. Current remote controls, they don't match the user behaviour well, as you'll see on the next slide. I don't know what zapping is, but
it's switching between channels, sort of randomly going through.
Oh right, but you have that little thing that comes up at the bottom and tells you what's on. Okay, 50% of users say they only use 10% of the buttons, so that's going back to what, you know, we were saying earlier about, you know, do you need all the buttons on the remote control?
Mm.
They just make it look ugly. Okay, cool. So this is one thing quite a bit
difficult to sort.
If you explain it to us, it'll be fine.
Okay, well, I can send it to all of you.
Yeah.
What it is it's cones, because I thought they'd be more exciting.
I like that. I like
oh,
that's
ooh,
good.
Come back. Start playing with the little okay, so like what it shows is how much things are used relatively, and what you can clearly see from that is the thing that's used most is the channel selection. What you can't see is volume selection's a little bit higher than all the others.
Mm-hmm. That's the next one along, yeah?
Yeah, so what the graph shows is that, you know, power, channel selection and volume selection are important, and the rest of them, you know, nobody really uses.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the numbers are on the top represent their like their importance, you
mm-hmm.
know, so on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is that? And you know, channel selection and volume selection are absolutely essential, and the power, well, it's not quite so essential apparently, although I don't understand how it could be. And everything else, I think, you know, you can forget about having those buttons on the remote control because they're just not needed and they're not used. Okay, this is the bit that the email messed up for me, that's what I was feeling about at the beginning of it. Okay, cool. So, okay, so this is what people find annoying about remote controls. That they get lost, that they're, you know, they're not intuitive, and that they're bad for repetitive strain injury.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're watching enough TV to get repetitive strain injury from, you know, watching TV, that's the least of your problem, but, you know, it's up there. The RSI thing would be that, like, when you have the computer keyboards and you keep your wrist up, would be something that encourages, you want something with an ergonomic design that encourages good use of the remote control and,
mm-hmm.
you know, not straining your wrist watching TV. Yes. Okay, cool. Right, sorry, this is pink because I was copying and pasting the table. I didn't have time to write it out again. Okay, but that shows how people, whether they would pay more for a voice recognition software. So you can see from that, you know, younger people, to the age of 35, are quite likely to pay quite a lot more. Are quite likely to pay more for voice recognition software. Whereas as people get older, they're a bit more sceptical about it and they're less willing to try it. So clearly voice recognition is something to think about. But, you know, I do wonder how well that would work, given that a TV, you know, tends to be people talking,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, how are you going to stop it from just flipping channels whilst watching TV?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Okay, so these are my personal preferences. So we have sleek, stylish, sophisticated, you know, so something that's, a bit cool. You know, functional, so it's useful, but minimalist. There's an important thing that, you know, people use when, you know, when you're filling up your home, you know, a lot of people fill up their home with bits of crap basically, you know, and you've got all this stuff and you're just like, what the hell is that? Who is ever gonna use it? You know, so things should either be functional or beautiful, or preferably both. So I think we need to aim for both. Okay, then a long battery life, like you were talking about earlier. And, you know, I was thinking that solar power would be quite cool because, you know, your remote control just sits there and you could just sit it in the sunshine and save the environment a bit. And then, like, a locator. So, you know, kind of like you have a mobile phone, or not a mobile phone.
Some kind
keys
of
and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
that's
it, you know.
Whistle and
I know, it's weird. My flatmate and I were talking about this on the way into uni this morning, and I was like, I need to get one for everything. So, yeah, so maybe something where you clap and then it beeps, something, a kind of sound that you don't often hear on the TV,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you don't want your remote control beeping every 5 minutes, because you'd then deliberately lose it by throwing it out the window or something. So, okay, cool. That's me.
That's you.
Excellent.
Very good. So we've got about 10-15 minutes to discuss.
I think one of the very interesting things that came up in
cats.
Cats. presentation was this issue of like voice recognition being more popular with younger people. So if we need to have a target group, then I think as far as the motto of our company is concerned, if we want to have something sleek and you know, good looking, we are better off targeting a younger audience than you know, people who are comparatively elderly.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing, is that it didn't say in the survey, you know, whether, you know, these are the people that will pay more for a more stylish remote control, but I'm assuming, you know, yes.
But the survey did say that things like voice recognition are more popular with them, so if you want to put in something stylish, then it will certainly be more popular with the younger people as compared to older people.
Then again, I guess the where it was most popular was the 15 to 25 bracket.
Right.
And
right.
I don't know how often they are buying televisions.
Right.
Well, that's when you go to uni, isn't it? So
but you don't have much money,
yeah.
generally.
Yeah,
I would
assume it's television or something.
It's more that 25 to 35 when people are really moving out and they've got their first job and they want their nice toys. And
yeah.
But it's still, if you can go back to that slide and... That's alright, if you can just look it up on your computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, people between 25 to 35, how popular was...
76.
This
was 76.
It's still quite popular amongst them. So even they are 76% of that.
Yeah, and I mean, I know what you're saying about the 15 to 25 year olds, but I mean, it has been proven that the people of that age group have a higher disposable income because they don't have, like, I mean, you know, if you're at university, you're paying your rent, but you don't have a mortgage, you don't have a life insurance policy.
Usually
you
not a car.
Normally
things.
Have a car,
you
still
don't
need to drive,
like
actually, see, so that just costs more than a car. But yeah, so, I mean, like, it is an age group to target.
Yeah. And if we're talking 25 euros as a price, that's not unaffordable even for...
No, I mean that's what it's like £15.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, this is not unaffordable, but the problem is whether people need it and whether they do have a TV.
Yeah.
I don't know many people without a TV.
Yeah.
But
we
did
have a TV last year and everyone thought we were off our heads.
But the TVs are often kind of someone's old TV that's
and
a bit strange to have a fancy
remote. It might not even function with it.
But even
in the case of 25 to 35, it's
quite
popular,
yeah.
Right? So,
maybe we can just kind of.
I think the fact that, you know, 91.2% of 15 to 25 year olds are saying yes, I would pay more for a voice recognition remote control, they say quite a lot, really, you know. So.
Yeah.
I mean, that and the disposable income, I don't think it's something to ignore, you know.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think maybe we can just decide to have both of these groups as our target, because actually, I mean, they're all still
it's
young
not a massive
people.
Difference.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. If we take 15 to 35, but that then does imply that we should try and incorporate voice recognition. Is that going to have an implication?
Most like sophisticated features, but voice recognition itself I'm not very sure about, because one of the things that Kat pointed out was how do we go about implementing it.
Mm-hmm.
You
do have it in your mobile phone though, don't you, because you have like, I mean every mobile phone now has like call this person and it calls them.
Well, how frequently do we use it anyway, and how good is it, you know? Voice recognition software are still quite...
With a TV remote, it's going to be quite limited. If we're just saying the main things people want to do is on, off, channel 5.
Yeah.
Right.
Louder. That should be relatively simple.
Okay.
You would maybe need a code word, do you know what I mean?
Right.
So like when you say change, so that's been said quite a lot on TV, so maybe like, you know, remote. I mean, how often do people say remote on TV?
Yeah.
Although I only watch Charm, so really I wouldn't know. But like, say, just say remote 5, you know, remote 10, remote 129.
Okay, so it seems like a feasible thing to implement.
Yeah, but maybe if you want to look into that just to check. So if we go for the 15 to 35 age group.
And then of course we're going to get to anyone who's older than 35 who wants to look young and hip and trendy
yeah,
and has
sure.
the money, then
they'll
still go for the same advertising.
I think there's a lot of voice recognition.
The voice recognition, if it works wonderfully, we could possibly deal well with all buttons, but I think this is not really the right moment yet because people are just so used to buttons and
I think we
need both.
What
so the voice recognition would be just an extra, it wouldn't really reduce the size of the remote.
What I was thinking is that there is this separation between what the channels are on TV and how they are numbered on the remote control. If we can do away with that, our product can be really popular in the sense that a person can say, I want to watch ITV1. Instead of saying that I want to go on channel number 45. If something like that can be.
So that if that was in the voice recognition, that
yeah,
would be
but
great.
Then the code word would be even more important because I mean Sky advertise on every channel, you know, so then it would be you'd be watching Charmed, and then the Sky advert would come on and it would change to Sky.
Watch Sky.
And that would be really annoying.
But on the other hand, the remote control is close to you. You probably might just speak into it, and the TV would be already farther away, so it might not pick up the things coming
from
there.
Do you not think that defeats the object of having voice recognition on a remote control?
So that you can yell at it.
Yeah, you know, so you have to have the remote control. It's more like if you lost it, it's down the sofa, sometimes you can yell at it, it'll just change it. You can look for it later.
But then the remote control, I think, I mean, the idea is kind of, it's not that it's sitting there on top of the television, because then you could already yell at the television and you wouldn't need the remote control. So the remote control is still something you keep near yourself.
Yeah, I suppose near to you. Like if you have surround sound, then.
And it might become very difficult from a distance for the television to understand what you're saying because of the noise
factor.
The remote control being
I was just defending the fact why we want to keep the remote control close to us and not to yell at it from the distance.
Another thing that can be used is that there can be a beeper button on the TV, so you can go and press that button and the remote control, wherever it is, it will beep. So
that's but then if you're buying the remote separately, but you could have something, but if it was something that you could like stick onto the TV or something, if you bought it in a two-part pack, so one part attaches to the TV.
It's quite important that you don't use the bit to locate the remote control.
Well, that's right, but it solves the problem of having different noises.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I think we're going to have to wrap this up. But if we go away with that kind of general specification in mind, that we're looking at 15 to 35 year olds, we want it to look simple but still have the button so it's easy to use, but only those key buttons, and then one sort of menu one, and then voice recognition included as an option. But that obviously needs a little bit more working out as to whether it's really feasible and some of those problems we mentioned. What we have to do now is to go back to our little places, complete our questionnaire and some sort of summarisation, which you'll get immediately by email. Send me your presentations so that I can use them to make the minutes. And then we've got a lunch break.
Mm-hmm.
And after lunch we go back to our own little stations and have 30 minutes more work. I'll put the minutes in that project documents folder, but I'll send you an email when I do it so that you know. It should be on your desktop. So on the So I'll put them there as soon as I've written them.
Did you find it?
Yeah.
And email them round.
Oh, so you want our PowerPoint presentations in there?
Yeah, that would be great.
So we'll just
then you don't have to email them.
But is everyone's called functional requirements?
No, they're all called something slightly different. Technical requirements and something.
So that's
So if you put them in there, we'll all be able to see them and refer to them if we need to. As to where we're going from here, you're going to look at the components concept. Yeah. Whatever that means.
I guess I'll find them.
You'll be looking at the user interface.
Something
conceptual. And you're watching trends to see how we go, and surely voice recognition will fall off the map or something. We'll keep our options open. Components.
Sorry, but the next meeting, are we going to have it right after lunch, or shall
no,
we prepare our work?
We have after lunch. We have 30 minutes
to
ourselves
okay.
to prepare.
Okay.
So that's fine. But before lunch, we just have to complete the questionnaire and some sort of summary.
Okay.
Okay. Right on time. Okay, so we can, I guess we'll see you for lunch.
Okay. See you.